More babies are being born preterm. Earlier this year, the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported almost 10% of babies born in this country were premature. To talk more about this, I'm joined by Dr. Isaac Martinez, who's a board member of the March of Dimes. And Isaac, what kind of increase are we seeing now?
So keeping in mind that we've got about 4 million births that occur on an average year in the United States, about 380,000 of those are being born prematurely, and that means that before their scheduled birth date anticipated. That's a number that had been declining over the last few years through a lot of efforts and research, but in the last couple of years, we've been seeing this trend start to come back up again, and that's very alarming for a lot of different reasons.
In those numbers, is there a differentiation made between a baby, for example, born at 37 weeks and a baby born at, say, 30 weeks?
We count all premature births, so anything below 40 weeks, a full-term birth, as premature. But the reality is that when you got extreme prematurity, so 25 weeks to 30 weeks, the number of health problems that occur in those children that are lifelong usually are much higher than in the 30 to 35 or 35 to 40. That being said, that's not always the case.
Is there a sense as to why the number of babies being born prematurely is going up again?
There's a lot of thoughts on this and a lot of research going into this right now. Some of it may just be demographics and the way that we're birthing children nowadays. We're waiting until longer to have children. And so the number of women in the 30 to 35 year range having children actually outpaced the numbers in their 25 to 30 year old range for the first time in the U.S. in the last year or so. And again, it's delayed family planning, and you know, not to say that that's good or bad, no comment on that, but we do know that there is an increased rate of prematurity as a woman gets older, and so when they get into that 30-year-old range and above, the likelihood of having a premature child does rise, unfortunately.
What are some of the consequences of that? I mean, you reference that, you know, babies born prematurely can
Sure.
sometimes have long-lasting or even not so long-lasting health effects. What are some of the more common ones, and what are the implications maybe on the healthcare system of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we start talking about, you know, again, extreme prematurity, 25 to 30 weeks, but even in 30 to 35 weeks, you have to keep in mind that the number of days that they would have to spend in the NICU, in the neonatal intensive care unit, goes up significantly. And it's not unusual for in the first year of life, these children to incur costs of $1 million plus just from the intensive care that they're receiving. Now, that's just the first year of life. And unfortunately, it would be nice if, you know, they came out of that first year, they went home, and everything was completely fine. Unfortunately, that's not the case.
Given, as you say, that demographics might be a key contributor to why this number is going up, mm-hmm. is there anything that can be done to try to reduce the number of premature births? I mean, you can't tell people when to have kids and, you know, when to
Correct.
Start their families. So are there things that folks like you and your organization can try to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So education is the key aspect right now. That we're focusing on this, and we're donating a lot of efforts and a lot of money to basic bench research to try to figure out what are the triggers that start labor, that basically tell, you know, the child, okay, it's time to go, it's time to be born, and try to figure out what that is. So one of the areas that we're focusing on heavily right now is what we can control. So I can't necessarily control some of the genetic factors, some of the chemical factors, all of that. That's all being researched and will hopefully have some impact on that at some point. But things that are simple to control. So if you're going to have a child, making sure that you have good prenatal care and you've got it early on and you're being followed by the doctor. If you're a smoker, got to stop. And then we know in certain populations, in certain racial groups, there's a higher preponderance of prematurity. So African Americans and Native Americans, especially in this state, show higher rates of prematurity. And so intensifying our research or our outreach efforts educationally to help them to have a healthy pregnancy actually does impact and lower those numbers significantly.
How easy or difficult is it to reach the people that you're trying to reach to get them that information?
It's difficult. And this is one of the areas that we are really doing a kind of a grassroots effort on right now. We've got the information. We've got the resources. We've got the money to be able to impact. What we don't have are the contacts in a lot of these communities, and especially, like I said, in the Native American community here in Arizona. It can be very hard to tap that community and to really try to figure out who are the leaders of those communities that we can talk to and educate that can then go down into the community to educate the pregnant women in those areas.
All right. Isaac, thanks a lot for your time.
Hey, thanks so much.
Isaac Martinez is a physician and a board member of the March of Dimes.